is where real and virtual motorsport meet. From the ITA studio, to the paddock, to the sim rig. Pull up a chair, pour a drink. This is the Into the Apex podcast.
Into the Apex podcast.
It's Into the Apex. Still in the studio this week, Tyler, Bobby G, and joined this week by Greg Meismer, no stranger to the show, with us at Daytona, part of the network, also part of Operation Motorsport this season once again, Core Motorsport in the IMSA Michelin Pilot Series. And joining us in the fourth chair for the first time on the show, Tyler Guilmette. He is a part of Archangel in IMSA Michelin Pilot this season with Operation Motorsport. We've raced with both of these guys and Tyler in the Operation Motorsport League on iRacing. And he behind him on camera, he's got his ProBen first place trophy, beautiful trophy from the Otmo League, sitting right behind him, as he should. Tyler, welcome to ITA. It's good to have you here. We've seen you many a time at the track, but it's good to finally have you on the show.
It's great to be here with you guys tonight.
He's got... Yeah, the wonderful trophy. Greg shaking his head. I was on the call. I was on the call with Podium Esports for like two of these. I was a terrible commentator as far as being able to be there, but I called a couple of these races. One at Willow Springs. Hell, I forget. Maybe Watkins Glen. The other one, I don't remember. But you guys were neck and neck in iRacing in the LMP3, I believe.
Yeah,
and that was tight. Everywhere. That was very tight. Where'd you finish, Greg? Clearly not first.
I finished fourth.
Fourth.
Yeah, I like beginning half of the season, it's me, him, and Matt pretty much fighting for the lead, right? Like, it would be, the podium would be like Matt, me, Tyler, Matt, Tyler, me, Matt, Tyler, me, Matt, me, Tyler.
Yeah,
right. And then I saw my first DNF with my time with Oppo. I've done, what, four seasons now? Three seasons now with Oppo? Mm-hmm. Saw my first DNF at Mosport.
Oh, that's a tough one.
And then it just, from there, the season just fucking fell apart. it was just one thing after another.
That's an interesting thing when you are in that and you DNF'd. Is it because of other people, or do you ever find yourselves, like, I find myself doing this, where I get a little over my skis, push too hard, I get like, I gotta get there, I can get more out of this, and then I crash.
It was net code that was going to turn into an accident anyway, I think. And then I got launched over the wall and immediately teleported into the pits.
Yeah.
And it was the last like 3 minutes of the race. So I'm like, well, that's it. That's my race done.
You know, that was your first DNF. That was my first win of the season.
Oh,
yeah.
At Mosport. That's a good one. That track, that thing's a roller coaster, that place.
I was in second when it happened. Yeah.
But yeah, that league has been fun. I tried to commentate last season. Me and Bradley have raced in it a bit. I think even Rob has started in it a couple times. New season coming up in March, and we don't know the cars yet, but we have the track schedule. I definitely plan to be there in the open class once again in whatever car it is. I'm sure it's going to be good. And then we've got weather coming. We got rain coming for like any league, any series that you thought you knew is going to be so different. Every single one of them, as far as on the roadside, is going to be different now with this new Tempest release on iRacing.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a key for a lot of these leagues around here, or at least a key for the success of rain is going to be the leagues.
Yeah.
I think as soon as rain hits, people are going to drive it, find out how fucking hard it is.
Yep.
And then every time rain comes up on an official week, they're going to skip it.
Yeah. So you think they're going to try to protect their safety and iRating jewels?
Of course. Do you think that's how the officials are going to do it? Do you think officials are just going to like plan it in? Like it's always going to be like you'll know it's going to happen?
I think based on what we've seen, you're going to see the projection and you're going to go, like yep. your buddy that's giving you a little backhand to the nuts is walking up towards you, and you're like, mathematically, I think I'm about to get nut checked, so I'm going to cover myself with my hands.
Yeah, I think you'll see the real hardcore guys that want to win the official series out there every week, but the guys that are just doing it for fun, probably not.
Yeah,
and I think aside from leagues, I think the official or the special events are going to be a big key in that too.
Yeah,
practicing with the weather models for the special events where you like it's do or die. Either you're going to race the event with what it gives you, or you're not.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that's a great point. The leagues are going to be harmless. I mean, to an extent, as far as if you care about your ratings. I mean, I find myself sometimes caring and sometimes not caring about my ratings. I don't know about you guys, but the leagues are going to be a place to kind of get that in. And what happens? You lose some points. I think some people can live with that.
Yeah. I don't care too much about my rating, but I also don't want it to go down because I'm in a sweet spot with competition. But I also don't really do much for official racing. Just stick to leagues. It's a lot more fun, I think.
Yeah. Leagues are more familiar. I like the continuity, and it cleans itself up as well. Like it disciplines itself. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Rob, you and I, we've been doing a little bit of league racing, but not for a while. And it, I don't know, Rob, unmute your mic. What is this, your first day?
Just shut up.
4.5 years of ITA, Rob Grigoire, folks.
And what? You can't, what? You're above that now? Come on.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I don't know. Weekly, like just like the weekly officials, like don't do it much for me, man. Like it's all special events or leagues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, practice.
It's just the riffraff of all the, like it's just too many times to get disappointed and like, it's just, I don't know.
What if you find out that you're better than the average bear at, rain driving?
Oh, I'm definitely. I'm going to go out there because there's going to be no expectations on anybody when you first go out there.
Yeah.
Right. Just going to go out there and just like, I would know people are going to hit me. I know I'm probably going to hit a couple people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all going to be fair.
Yeah. I like that.
So, yeah. And that's what I'm hoping the rain will do is that at least in the first like week, give us like a week 13 with it first. You know what I mean? Or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like, let us get out there with no consequences and really mix it up. Right.
Practice sessions are gonna like official practice sessions are gonna be weird because like it's a continuous time, right? So if you get into a practice session in the middle or in the beginning and have to leave at the end and the rain is at the end, or maybe the rain happened at the beginning and you got in at the transitionary period, or you know,
and then it rains again during qualifying and you didn't practice in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The strategy dimension is next level. I know a lot of people have commented that that's what they're really into that. I mean, that strategy, we lack it a bit. And really in some of the endurance racing, we lost a little bit of the strategy that we had when they kind of equalized the taking of tires and the refueling. That used to be the big thing, was how many stints can you go on your tires and save some time in the pits. And then that kind of got obsolete, which was fine. It was a little more realistic, I guess. But it took something away in road endurance racing and the GT cars. And this kind of adds everything back. The sitting and watching the radar and watching the weather as a team. I'm just very excited about that. We're all going to be a bunch of amateur meteorologists at this point when this comes out.
Yeah, I miss that strategy part because we used to play that hard, and then now it's just, let's change tires and fuel at the same time. So what's the point in not taking tires?
Yeah.
We drove the Tyler and I drove the 919 in a PCA event, and the 919 still has the old like fuel and tire strategy.
Separation.
Yeah. And that got us a podium, remembering that.
That got us a P2.
It did.
I think all of us remember that. Like, that was the test. Like, who can handle a car 3 stints into tires overnight or in the day?
Yeah.
Like, that's a skill. I know Rob remembers.
That was my favorite, man.
Yep.
And well, now it's going to be on rails in how much standing water.
Yeah, and I hope that it changes the track surface how they've announced or talked about in the past, with like you know, you get a drying line, you have puddles, whereas like, you know, in ACC, it's either wet or it's not pretty much. And
yeah,
that's going to be the interesting part, is seeing that dynamic.
I'm going to be the person that has to ask for like illustration of AC. Everybody who listens to this for any amount of time knows Bradley and I have only ever done iRacing. We're iRacing elitists or loyalists. We need an endorsement from Steve Meyer, but I've never done rain because I've never done ACC. So I don't know if all three of you guys, and I'm the only one that hasn't, but what is it like? Is it more difficult? Like if you had to, I guess I'll look to that, you know, guys like that to give me an example of, is iRacing better? Is it more realistic or what?
Yeah. I mean, like I did my first actual race in ACC was one of the SRO community races at the end of the year at Watkins Glen, and it was wet. Mm. And so that was, you know, I hadn't raced in ACC. I'd just been doing some practicing, hot lap, stuff like that, and getting thrown into a race in rain. It was a learning experience, but it was fun. You just have to, you know, back up your braking points, put some more traction control in it, slow your hands down a little bit. But, you know, other than that, I think it's interesting.
Well, the thing that Assetto Corsa doesn't do that happens in real life that I hope iRacing can accomplish is the migration of the racing line.
Yeah.
Right? Because it moves off of like what the actual racing line is. As the rubber builds up and then it gets wet, it gets slick there. Mm. So you end up having to take a completely different line mm-hmm. around a corner. I wonder how that's going to happen. Like, is it going to migrate? Is it just going to suddenly appear? Is that going to happen at all?
Yeah.
You know, and then going back when it's going from wet to dry, it, you know, hopefully it'll migrate back to the racing line. But only on the racing line, right? As soon as you get off of that, you're fucked.
Done. Yeah. I know that was their goal with Tempest and the weather, was to have that migrating line. You have to go offline to cool your tires once the dry line starts appearing. Like,
yep.
So,
yeah,
I hope that happens.
Yeah, reading the notes without looking back at them right now, I want to say that's what we all saw. That's what we saw that they wanted. But yeah, reading about it is one thing, but seeing how it was pulled off, how it hits you as a driver over the course of time, that's what I think we're all like on the edge of our seat for. Like,
how's it going to hit your PC?
Yeah, well, that's me. This guy right here is like, I'm going on 4.5 years since I went to Best Buy back in early 2020. Before COVID, I knew it was coming.
Okay.
And I said, I need a hobby. And yeah, I'm going on 4.5 years with this $700 Best Buy PC, and I'm still out there churning away. Sure, my shadows look like blocks sometimes, but I'm still out there beating people, you know?
I told you, when you're ready, man, hit me up. We'll build one together.
I would like to do that. Can we do it like what was that movie, Ghost? Can
Oh, I will 100% stand behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
And guide your little hands.
Guide the graphics card in, because I don't know how to do it. I really legitimately don't know how to do anything. It's
when you do it for the first time, you're going to be like, "Why was I such a pussy?"
I mean, right? I feel like that's true about a lot of things.
Go take yours out and put it back in right now. I mean, not right now.
No, but I'm looking at it.
It's as straightforward as cooking a hot dog in the microwave. Yeah,
too long and it'll blow up. I did put my own RAM in.
It's the same thing.
Then. You're good.
So I don't need to, because I was doing that like it was operation, like I was carrying the nuclear football.
Yeah.
The only thing that you need to be wary of is the CPU. Putting the processor in is
where
you can do the damage.
Because I was bottlenecking when Charlotte...
You're muted, Rob.
Every 8 seconds.
God damn it,
just like, Rob. You guys want me to listen to my dogs bark?
No, I don't. I just want you to...
Yeah, well then shut the fuck up, Tyler.
What were you going to... Rob, comment. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say the CPU part. Like, every time I build a computer for someone, I always look at them like, this is the only fucking part. Like, if I'm going to fuck something up, like, this is it.
Okay, so that's the part. That's the part I definitely shouldn't do.
No, you can still do it. It's just...
I did it. Mm. I did it. I built my first PC. I mean...
If you want the safest...
This is the first PC I've ever built.
You go with an AMD, because it doesn't have the pins on the CPU. They're on the board.
Yep.
So yep. It's easier to build than Intel, which has the pins on the CPU.
Yeah. And if you bend the pins, you just buy a new motherboard. Your CPU. Yeah, but your CPU's still good.
Your CPU's still good.
Your motherboard is cheaper.
Yeah. That's whatever's easiest. Yeah. I would need somebody to guide me. Yeah, I put RAM in.
I'll guide you through the process.
Yeah. It's all just a big puzzle. It's pretty easy.
It's all a big puzzle. Yeah. A big $1,000 plus puzzle.
Yeah.
Instead of having...
It's all Legos.
Although I've been... I mean, I was eyeing a new PC, and I still am, depending on everything else, but good old Sam's Club. Sam's Club has gaming PCs.
I'm not surprised.
I want Arrive and Drive. I want Arrive and Drive, folks. That's what I want.
Do you buy them in a PC multi-pack?
You should. They should. You can get compressed air in a multi-pack. I found that out.
Yeah.
For the price that you'll pay for that thing, you can build an amazing.
Yeah.
That's what everybody said.
PC. It's
And then once you build it the first time, the second you're done, you'll be like, I'm a fucking idiot. I wasted so much money.
So easy.
I feel like this is like sixth episode where I say all this, but I'm scared of doing that. I'm scared.
I'll keep hounding you in the Discord.
Yeah,
now.
Like, have you bought?
I'm gonna send you messages every day.
Yeah, I have a buddy.
I'm gonna start sending you lists from PC Par Picker. Like, here, check this out. Check this out. Here's my build.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like buying a car that I don't know how to put together. It's like, did I just buy a car or did I just buy a bunch of pieces of metal? I don't know.
The only difference is if you have extra parts left over from PC, you probably did it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Not true. I had a bunch of parts left over from my case and shit.
Well, I mean,
and my power supply and things like that.
If it comes with spares, it doesn't count.
I buy all modular parts, right? So it comes with like... Then you got to figure out which one is which, right?
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like the moment of truth.
It's super easy.
I feel like the moment of truth is coming for me with the rain. Like, it's either I'm going to continue with this until it blows up or I'm going to be forced to do something. And I don't really want to, like, I'm flying high to the sun right now with this. I'm risking it all. And I don't want to look my eyes right in the sun because I feel like I'll burst into flames. So I'm kind of pretending like March is not going to come the way it's going to come.
It sounds like you're in a 737 Max.
The door's going to pop up. Yeah. Bradley was in a Boeing. So Bradley's not here because he's in Las Vegas playing the slots and making other poor decisions in his life. But
like not being here tonight.
Yeah, he's not here tonight because of that. And he was in a Boeing. He made it, but almost. But yeah, that's where he's at, folks.
If it's not a 737 Max, you're fine.
Yeah, all the other ones are good.
Yeah, when we flew to Orlando for Daytona, I was like Airbus, good to go, feeling good, feeling comfortable. But yeah, speaking of Daytona, so we all four of us were down there, and it was good to see everybody down there. The Operation Motorsport crew is always when we do the camping, like Watkins Glen and Daytona, it's always good to see everybody and kind of get together. But both of you guys were on the Michelin Pilot, Greg. I know we talked. On the roadshow down there, and I believe even during the roadshow, Greg said Tyler's on the way, or was heading there, and just didn't make it, I guess, or we stopped recording and we're going to watch the fireworks or something. There were so many tequila shots and gummies and other such things that God knows what was going on down there. That was wild. But Tyler, you were with Archangel with, I want to say, an Aston Martin, correct?
Yes.
What was your experience of that as we kind of pivot from the sim to the real and back to the sim at some point? But I saw you at one point. You were a welcome, familiar face at the IMSA Business Center when I got randomly pulled in to go on a hot lap in the McLaren. You were doing a hot lap in a Porsche. And that was the first time I saw you. You had the fire suit on from the team and looked like you just hustled over there to go for the laps. But yeah, I mean, how was that? How was it the weekend? How was being there with Otmo at the Rolex 24?
I mean, it's always great being there with Operation Motorsport. No, it was first weekend, new team, and it was a great time with them. You know, it was a good group of guys. Unfortunately, we had an incident in the race that took us out of a top 10 finish. We got hit. Shortly after the first caution ended, broke a left front wheel, broke an ABS wheel speed sensor. Mm-hmm. So we had to repair that, got back out there. I mean, we still you know, finish in like the top 15, but we were on for the best finish of the team. And, you know, so it hurt a little bit, but get it out of the way now. We got 9 races left to go and win the championship and beat Core Motorsport.
A little competition between the Aston and the Ford Mustang.
I wouldn't call it competition.
you guys keep performing that well and you're BOP yourself out of a championship.
Yeah, that's right. That was the topic in GT4 down there was BOP with the Mustangs.
Yeah, we finished 7th. Yeah. Started 7th, finished 7th.
Yeah, you guys had a good race, a boring race, but a good race.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a long, long 4 hours in the pit box. Oh, yeah. It was, yeah. But we pulled it off. And we're just looking forward to Sebring.
Yeah, Sebring's coming up. I know you guys are going to be down there. That's going to be, I know Greg's been down there. I don't know if you've been, Tyler. I've not been. We almost went a couple years ago and didn't work out. That's what I want to go to. I know Greg on Into the Paddock on our network just had a Sebring historian on, so go check that episode out if you haven't. But
the
Sebring historian.
Sebring historian.
But that seems like a wild time. I'm a Google Maps studier. Like, I've been to Bradley's in Vegas. I'm FOMOing. I've been to Vegas. I have been to Vegas on Google Maps, folks. I'll tell you that. But I've looked at Sebring on Google Maps to try to get a taste of it. And I see where people's campgrounds are tagged by name on Google Maps, multiple sites. And I feel like there's a history and probably some debauchery tied to all of that.
Let's just say the Sebring 12-hour is the Daytona 500 of road course racing. I was down there in 2013. That was my one and only time I went. I consider that still in the golden era of GT racing when you had GTLM, you still had the Vipers around. I watched Ben Keating's Viper burn to the ground out of turn 5, turn 6. Oof. That was it was a wild year. And then, you know, I was standing right next to where they burned the couch at the end of the race. Right down there at turn 7. So
wow. Sounds like
it's a party.
Sounds like we need to go.
Absolutely.
You definitely have to go.
Yeah.
If you can get at least once.
Yeah.
If you can get camp tickets.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the way to go. That's the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, even, I mean, you'll have a place to sleep. don't worry about that. If you're a friendly person, you probably will have a place to sleep.
I like that.
But yeah, get you some camp tickets.
That's
even 11 years ago, it was hard to get camping in the infield. We ended up at a campground off site.
Yeah. We've talked about it before. We're going to have to figure out what events to cut and replace, but there's so much to do and bucket list items. That's got to be one of them. The track just looks. I mean, and watching IMSA day into night, you only really get it so far at like Daytona, Petit Le Mans, and there at Sebring, and seeing it like Petit Le Mans, it's just you get. Even at Daytona, once the sun starts to set, it becomes like a sacred moment. Like we enjoy it in the sim and it's beautiful, but something about being at the track as the race is going on, the headlights are getting brighter. I don't know. A good sunset.
The Michelin Pilot Challenge will get it at Indianapolis. We did last year.
Yep.
I want to go to that.
It gets dark at Indy.
I'm excited for that race. That'll be my first time at Indy.
So oh, man.
I'm really looking forward to that experience.
It's like a religious experience.
Yeah. Indy. Oh, it's Indy.
It's a church.
Half the races this season, I haven't been to the tracks before, so I'm excited.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a good year. Outstanding year. So you said 2013 you went to Sebring, Tyler. What was your, I'm always interested to hear somebody's, like, you get when you got into motorsport and at what point you got into sim racing and kind of how you progressed into it.
Oh, let's see. You know, I grew up right outside of Daytona. Spent a lot of time at Volusia Speedway. Mm. Back in the day, it was called Barberville. NASCAR was a big thing. And then one day, In the late 90s, my dad's like, hey, there's this this race called the Rolex 24. Mm. It's like probably 96 or 97 was the first year I went. Mm. And until I joined the Navy in 2010, I had been at every single race.
Oh, wow.
From that first one. You know, I had watched the Earnhardt's race in 2001 with Corvette.
Oh, wow.
That was a really cool experience because it was the first time watching senior race in person. And then it just, you know, spiraled out of control, I'd say, from there.
That's the way it goes.
Always played, you know, when the PS2 came out, I was playing Gran Turismo 3. I played Forza Motorsports a lot growing up and then got into Project Cars in 2017. And that was kind of the kickoff to where I'm at now with sim racing was Project Cars. Because I got my first wheel and pedals. Then eventually build my 2x4 rig. Got my first PC in 2019, and that's when I joined iRacing. And now I've got, or 2018, sorry, I've been on for 5 years now. Mm. So it's been a wild adventure. And now to be working in the pits, like, yeah. Wouldn't have imagined.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like just by heritage, Daytona and the Rolex 24 is the origin story for you. So then
it is.
So then just a few weeks ago to have been there on an Aston Martin team, I mean, going over the wall and being there for the race, having done that and just becoming literally a part of the weekend. I mean, that's got to be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing experience. It was a bit emotional for me.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the sim, like when we closed out season 7, it was hour-long race at Daytona, and that's where that came from.
Yeah,
I beat Matt Smotherman in that race, and that tied up that pulled me ahead by 3 points for the championship. So
unreal.
You know, Daytona is that's my home.
Yeah, that something about it in the sim is sacred. I mean, the turnout for the special event itself shows that. Like, there's without question the biggest virtual endurance race in all of this thing that is sim racing. We're going to talk about Le Mans Ultimate and that type of thing. And I feel like through these licensing deals and all that shit, Le Mans has taken it. Like, Le Mans could possibly compete, but it just won't at this, you know, for these past few years and probably in the near future. And Daytona, just not just for Americans, but around the world, like sim racers around the world respect and show out for the Daytona 24 on iRacing specifically.
Absolutely. I think iRacing, if they still had the Le Mans 24, it'd be tied.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I started, they still were able to host that race officially. And it was another big one, same turnout as Daytona. So it's unfortunate, but hey.
You and I are doing one, a 24-hour Le Mans.
PCA?
We are.
In a Porsche.
We're doing the PCA race in the Porsche 963.
Where's my Porsche jacket? Yep. It's back here somewhere.
Porsche, sir.
Porsche.
We're doing it for the PCA.
I did. So the PCA and Operation Motorsport have had a really good relationship, it seems. Very supportive and very good in the sim, especially.
Yep.
I raced with, God, I think it was three of us, and I can't remember who the third driver, I hope it wasn't you, Tyler, that'd be awkward. me and Matt Smotherman, and I don't remember who the third driver was, but we raced the Porsche at, I want to say Porsche GT3 or GTE at Watkins Glen for like 4 hours. And that was my only time in the PCA, but man, was that a well-organized, well-done operation. It was a lot of fun.
You know,
a lot of fun.
I want to say I was the third driver.
You might. Oh, it's awkward. you probably were. But I still have fond memories.
Wait, was that for the qualifying race that we got P2?
I don't know. I don't think it was tied in.
No.
Because I didn't do anything beyond that just because I wasn't able to. But I signed up or got on the team just for that one. It probably was the three of us, most likely. But that was solid. That was a lot of fun. That was a good team experience.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back to it. Like I said, the last time we did anything for the PCA, it was the 919 at Sebring for, what was it, 6 hours?
Yeah, it was a 6 hour race.
Yeah, we got P2 in that. Then that was because of the tire strategy. I'm excited to do 24. I haven't done 24 hours of Le Mans. It's been years.
I was looking at that. It's an interesting concept. It's to an extreme level what BMW just announced this week with iRacing, where they're doing the single make. So it's Le Mans 24 hours. It's the Porsche GTP, the GT3, and the GTE. Am I missing anything? I don't think.
No.
It's those three. It's three classes, but you're driving a single car in each of the three classes.
Yeah.
Kind of the Porsche greatest hits at Le Mans.
Yeah.
But that's going to be good. I think that's going to be good. So you guys are doing the GTE or the GTP.
Yes.
And we'll be joined by Matt Smotherman and potentially Scott Andrews if he is available.
That's a heavy hitting team, I have to say.
Yeah, I'd say so.
you could be humble. You could be humble.
Yeah. But I mean, more so because of these guys, right? Like these guys are much faster than me.
Yeah.
Peep the trophy over Tyler's shoulder. I know we keep referring to it.
Maybe next year. But, next season.
Yeah. Next season won't happen because, well, A, Tyler and I will miss the first and the last race, I believe. Yeah. And then I'm going to miss two races in the middle because I'm having a surgery the day after the second or third race of the season. So
you just need to race through the pain.
Yep. Provisionals.
They don't want me doing anything.
I mean, you're sitting in a sim rig. It's not anything.
They just don't talk. I said, how bad is this recovery? And they were like, we're going to give you stool softeners so you don't have to push. We don't want you doing anything.
Oh my God.
He's like,
oh boy,
you're going to be sitting on the couch or in the bed, period.
Does it violate HIPAA to ask you what the procedure is?
It's a throat surgery. Okay. They're taking some shit out to biopsy it, but it's in a weird spot.
The Adam's apple.
So, yep. Getting that removed. No, I'm kidding. All right. Yeah. we'll just leave it at that. I'm getting a throat biopsy in a weird place.
Hopefully that's all good in all reality.
Yeah. The surgery is not dangerous. I want to preface that. It's not dangerous at all. It's just they said the recovery is just terribly painful.
I'm sure.
Man.
I say
let's take our first break here, our halfway break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about everything. We're just kind of hanging out, really. I'm going to tee Rob up, and we'll chat a little bit about this Le Mans Ultimate, which is all the talk this week in the sim racing world. I can't really say a whole lot about it because, as I've clearly defined on this episode already and previously, I'm not going to race it unless something extreme happens. But we'll move along to that and chat about it. Let Rob talk about how he pissed some people off, as always, on social media. When we come back on ITA.
Don't go anywhere. More Into the Apex is coming up.
Tired of getting caught up in the mayhem of turn one? So are we. Although we can't protect you from disasters in iRacing, we can protect you and your family from mayhem on the road or at home. The Allstate Javicki Agency proudly protects families in Ohio and Pennsylvania. Give John a call today at 412-561-6239. Mention Mad Sim Racing or Into the Apex when calling to receive a gift card with a qualified quote. No purchase necessary. Into the Apex is going back on the road in 2023, and it's all brought to you by our friends at Pro Kart Concepts. Pro Kart Concepts provides top-tier carts, parts, and consumables to the tri-state area and support based out of the Pittsburgh International Raceway. If there's anyone that can get you set in the world of karting, it's Eric and Dan with PKC. Visit ProKartConcepts.com for more information. This episode is brought to you by the racing fans at Great Hire HR. Whether you're hiring one employee or 100, Great Hire will let you keep doing what is important, running your business. For more information, visit greathirehr.com. You've just achieved your greatest accomplishment as a sim racer. Now what? Don't let it become just another stat you never see. Alien Awards is a service run by and for sim racers, creating clearly printed plaques on solid surfaces, something you can display proudly to mark a major victory and show off your team and sponsors. Whether you're an individual driver looking to create a memory or a league owner looking to take your season to the next level, Alien Awards can help. These are quality awards, I know because I've won one. There are no setup or design fees, and shipping in the U.S. is free. Take your sim racing career to new heights. Visit alienawards.net. That's alienawards.net. This episode of Into the Apex is brought to you by our partners at Track Racer. Since 2008, Track Racer has been designing and pioneering best value, high-end gaming platforms and accessories. Track Racer products are made from the highest quality materials that offer unsurpassed durability. Track Racer is supported by recognizable names such as Haley Deegan, Ross Chastain, Alex Pillow, and Alpine F1 Team. Check them out through the link on our website, intotheapex.com, and support the show.
This is Into the Apex Motorsport Podcast Network.
Into the Apex part two, where some of the off the rail stuff tends to happen here on the show. Tyler, Bobby G, Greg Meismer from the network, Tyler Gilmet still with us. And well, as I teased just before the break, Le Mans Ultimate and sim racing has been all of the talk this week with the early access. Rob, basically all of the streamers or content creators have gotten a hold of this. And we've been kind of watching it. I've kind of been watching it out of the side of my eye, but you took a morning or so, and you seem to really be staring at this game or Sam or
the algorithms on YouTube give me a lot of sim racing stuff, so I just see it whenever I open up YouTube. You know, sitting there, I got my break, and I checked it a couple of years. I think it was like Dave Cam and Jimmy Broadbent and Jared Yeager, or however you say his fucking
Hardier
name. Yeah, whatever it is. They're all doing the videos. And, like, not all of them are doing it like, yeah, you can tell, like, some of them had early access, and then some of them had bought it and were waiting for it to launch. But, yeah, just a bunch of people were all playing it, and I think it just looked like trash to me, to be honest. Because, like, the whole, like, I was watching their live streams and their live experiences, and I'll be like, oh, well, it's not that bad. And, like, 10 seconds later, they'd be yelling, like, why doesn't it work? Like, just trying to, like, navigate a simple menu. And I'd just be like, man, these guys are really going through it.
I think most people know the context of this, but just in case you're just now jumping into this whole saga, Le Mans Ultimate is Motorsport Games, and Motorsport Games has had a sore point with iRacers because of the IndyCar exclusivity license deal, which was held for a year with no Ultimate product, and is now back with iRacing. For the last 2 years or more, they are the reason why we don't have the Le Mans 24 on iRacing, and that reason is because of this final product, this licensed Le Mans-titled simulation that they've released. And they also are responsible for R Factor 2 or whatever.
But this is the same game.
It looks, yes. It looks
and they all said it. It's the same fucking game.
That's what I've heard too, is it's just a repainted R Factor 2.
Yeah.
With the issues.
Like, does it really do, like, what, like, from all the issues that I've seen, I just don't see why even would want to, like, why wouldn't you just play R Factor 2? Like, I'm not even sure it even does anything better than what it's built on top of.
Other than maybe, like, the load screen. Like, it's all Le Mans themed. Oh, there's French music and planes flying over with smoke.
Yeah, I just...
Describe to me French music.
I would need an accordion.
Baguette flutes.
Accordion music, right?
I can kind of picture what you mean, right?
I mean, yes, I've seen videos, Twitter, that's all I've seen, with streamers and, you know, Broadbent, Basic Ollie, some of the guys that have you know, are well known.
Did you see Super GT in his first win?
No.
No, he was the only one in the lobby, so he drove most of a lap, right? And then parked it in front of the start-finish line, went and got a breakfast wrap from McDonald's and came back in time for the finish of the race, and then got back in the rig and took off again.
I just appreciate
the finish line. One lap.
I just appreciate that. That's I like.
Yeah, exactly. On any title,
respect,
good or bad, right?
No, I've seen videos of it. I can't say I've like dug in and watched every one. It's not been appointment viewing for me because it's just I know I'm not going to probably go down that road, and that's a bit biased. I understand that, but the video clips I've seen, it looks like R Factor. In that R Factor look, I want to try to describe it. And there's only one way I really like intuitively feel like I can describe what I see when I watch. I've driven R Factor for a day. It's like the cars look like they're, when they go over hills or curbs or whatever, it's like a very quick movement. Like
they look like they're like sliding around on top of the surface. Like there's not this, like they don't look connected to the track.
They don't look connected to the track. That is exactly it. It just doesn't, to the eye test, it doesn't look smooth. It just doesn't.
And that's a couple of, I'd say a couple comments in these streams saying, like, just so everyone knows, and you had mentioned before, Tyler, like, this is why we can't have Le Mans on iRacing and why we've been deprived of it. It's like, this is it. And there, everyone keeps really hiding behind this early access label, which I'm pretty sure they only changed it to that like 4 or 5 weeks ago. Like, up until then, this was going to be the launch of the game. So it was only a month ago, and the game probably didn't look that different a month ago, I'm guessing.
Why do you think they did that? Is that just the way
they
just
was, they eventually got to a point where they had to admit they were not going to be able to get it ready.
That was a big CYA for them.
Yeah.
Because they knew it wasn't complete, but they had to deliver something after everything that happened and what they promised on and given a release date. And they're like, it's early access beta. You know, there's still a lot of bugs. So just deal with it. We'll fix it.
Known problems. If you look up their website, they have the known problems tab.
to the credit of the new CEO, like he's trying to fix what they broke.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, that's a big hill to climb.
Yeah, when we had David Perel on back end of the year, and he kind of started, he was talking about this whole thing pretty realistically, but then he said he personally knows the new CEO, and he spoke highly of him. So I mean, I think we respect David on this show, and he actually tweeted out this week during the hype of this that he hopes that this goes well. He hopes it's successful, because the competition is good for all of sim racing. It's good for people. So do I have to acknowledge a chip on my shoulder? Yes, Rob. Rob, you were in there, you know, beating the iRacing drum a bit. And I would be, that's what we do on the show. I'm kind of like the harumph guy here for iRacing. But I mean, if I jumped into that for some reason, if you got me into it and got me past my hangups and it was fun and a blast and great, I would be the first to admit it. I'm not going to sit here and lie to myself and everybody else.
I'm not saying the fun couldn't be had, but just given the market that they're in, I just don't like. Right now, I have to look at what it is and all the issues, and like I said, take the early access label and all that stuff. If I was to extrapolate it to what I imagine that finished product would look like, I still don't know what it's doing better or unique versus anything else where this content could exist, but surely doesn't because this thing exists.
Yeah, I think they're trying to bridge that gap between the Simcade and the Sim.
Yeah,
that Simcade look with the Sim physics, but they're not really landing right now. And
yeah, I never really
seven tracks in the game. They don't even have, you know, a timeline for when they're going to get the LMGT3 in. Mm-hmm. Like all this stuff is it's not a good look right now.
I saw a quote from the CEO where he basically said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that it was a no-brainer for this to ultimately come to consoles and be a console game. And that, I feel like that's telling as far as that goes, because it's accessibility to other people, and you know, F1 is in that boat, iRacing developing a NASCAR console, and maybe one day an IndyCar console game. I know we've talked about it on the show here before that sim racing purists, like people like us and probably everybody that listens to this, you're going to go for that. I think, Rob, you've made the point. When you just want to chill out and relax on the couch comfortably and just not really take it so seriously, but still kind of scratch that itch, still be connected to something you enjoy, which is the motorsport, there is a time and place for that. So, I mean, we don't need to sit here and be elitist. I don't need to sit here and be elitist about console games. Do you think there's a place for this, for what this is, Le Mans Ultimate, in the console world, not so much intently on the PC world?
Well, I think he mentioned it with the Simcade stuff, right? Like, they're trying to, like, it's the, like, and I, it's just a nature of the beast. Whenever, like I said, if you want to make something that's also going to be accessible to consoles, so like lower typical, like standard, like lower hardware, and someone with a gamepad in their hand, it's just like the people who are going to play it on like setups that we would use are going to suffer from just what could be. Like, you're just going to have to make certain sacrifices for balance of gameplay and stuff too, right? So that's where I think it's just going to fall short for someone like me anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know,
we're too invested in iRacing.
Yeah,
right?
Too much money has been spent on iRacing to to praise any other game.
And not just that, but you see, like, I, as an iRacing user, see a return on my investment, right? Consistently. I consistently see a return on my investment every month. I fucking let that credit card automatically renew. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I need to just buy a year subscription. It's bullshit.
Yeah, but you do. It's cheap.
I'm in the same boat. I do month to month.
Right.
Oh, no way. Fuck.
Yeah. I got caught up in it, and I haven't. I've been too lazy to go switch it. I don't know.
I buy my PC some Best Buy, too. We've established that I don't make wise decisions. Right. We've established that.
Yeah, not great decisions, but... But I like I said, I think we as users see a consistent return on our investment, and I'm not seeing that from any other. I mean, it's hard to find any other game that's doing that, much less a racing game.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, other than like Call of Duty, but Call of Duty just seems like a reskin every year, mm-hmm. And
I think the next up and coming game that's going to fill that same space is Helldivers.
Yeah,
I think that's in.
I have no idea what that is.
Hey, yeah, so. Me either. I have to look it up.
It's Helldivers. A great looking game, man. It looks.
I mean, it looks like a great game. They didn't expect the demand that it brought, and so there's long queues to get in, but it looks amazing.
Just googled it.
I think Starship Troopers meets Terminator.
Oh shit. You know, I'm a big Planetside 2 fan myself.
Man, this is definitely for you, Tyler.
Yeah, looks like it.
Like, I'm just waiting until they get the issues with the server wait times to come down before I jump in, but
oh, yeah.
It looks like a lot of
this
fun.
This looks like Planetside 3, Rob.
Yeah, it's not PvP, but it's still like,
yeah. That looks cool. It does. I mean, I think, you know, this time last year, we might have been stressing about Rensport, and then that has really just disappeared as far as any much thought about
Rensport,
it.
What's that?
Yeah, yeah. That's,
I mean,
yeah.
iRacing's got it.
I've seen people in our Discord be like, got a key for this. Anyone's interested. It's just fucking crickets.
I got a key. I got a key for Rensport, and I was like,
you'd have to pay someone to take
it. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you know what? No, I'm not. I'm just not.
I think I heard about that for like a week, and then it was gone.
Yeah.
And they're still developing. Like, I see them like still tweeting and stuff about it and handing out keys here and there, but... It's not going to catch. It's going to die.
The concern.
I watched a couple of the Rensport esports races,
and
they had esports races.
It's all geared towards it. Yeah. The only people who have touched it.
It was LAN, right? So they were all there, like on a stage. There was an audience, and I mean, it was a good production. It seemed pretty cool.
Yeah, but I think that's the disconnect too, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
From the common sim racer, the common man.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you watched it, Greg. Were you into it? Did you appreciated the production, but were you into it?
Yeah. It was fun to watch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I watch Assetto Corsa races. I'm not so much as of an elitist to iRacing that I can't watch other. I look but don't touch. You know, that's the rule, right?
Yeah. I find myself mostly only able to watch sim races that I'm in after I've been in them. Oh, wow. What is that called? Vanity? Wow. Narcissism?
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Malignant
narcissism, I think.
It looked fun, but I like I said, too invested in iRacing, and they are too good at making me feel like I'm spending my money in the right place.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to take a lot to pull me away from this.
I mean, I mentioned earlier that I did some iRacing. This time next week, I'll be joining the SRO community race for a ACC race at Bathurst. So that's going to be something.
Do a little compare contrast.
I'm a little bit faster on a hot track in ACC than I'm iRacing.
Oh, interesting.
I did the CrowdStrike, like friends and family league or whatever it was. I wasn't great at it. The tire philosophies, the grip, the force feedback, all the philosophies are different, right? Yeah, and it was just hard to translate.
It's different. I've kind of figured it out, but still not.
I've never tried it. Never tried anything else.
It's a vastly different experience to iRacing, but I will say, ACC looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
It is a gorgeous game.
We get a lot of feedback on different sims. I have never heard, honestly, somebody give us feedback where they stick up for R-Factor, probably for the reasons we just got into a minute ago of how it looks and whatnot.
Yeah, and that's why I always call out all these streamers and content creators whenever something new comes out for it and they're all dick riding it.
Yeah.
So
comes out, it's like we all know it's trash, and we all know in 3 days you're not going to play it because you know it's trash.
Let me continue on that. My point there was we get a lot of good feedback about ACC and the tires and the GT cars. I know JD from ITP, he will stick up for ACC. Yeah,
he loves it.
Yeah.
He loves it.
And I mean, I got to put some stock into those defenses because I hear them for ACC. I hear them from David Perrell. Another very respected sim racing and pro driver. So you can't ignore that if you're taking it seriously. But R-Factor, nothing. I don't hear any real defenses. I've heard David make fun of it, and he's raced in the Virtual 24 with Ferrari. I mean, come on. That's a bad review.
I tried R-Factor once.
There you go, folks. One star.
I gotta play some more ACC now that I'm not doing. ACC always seemed like it'd be really good, but it sucks in VR. It's just not optimized for VR.
Yeah.
It's so blurry and stuff. I mean, iRacing does it so well that it's just you can't go one to the other. But now that I'm mainly using triples, I literally just went into Steam and hit download because I was just like, I gotta play this.
And the other thing with ACC is. They got the sound so good.
The sound, oh my god, man!
Like here, it's not even box wine. Really, the card, it's incredible.
You might get me on the sound. I'm a sound snob.
It's an orchestra.
I think you would enjoy the original Assetto Corsa.
Oh yeah,
with mods.
Not Assetto Corsa Competizione.
It's just so much modding.
Okay,
right, and not even that. I think you would enjoy the base vanilla game. Really? No mods, no nothing. I think you would love it.
I'm a sound.
If you got a good, if you got a good set of headphones,
you'd love that. If you have a good set of headphones, like ACC too is just, it's going to blow you away as far as like, I think the ACC absolutely dominates iRacing in the sound department.
Oh, it does.
Okay. Of course, nice. ACC, ACC doesn't have the 787B though.
It doesn't, no.
you're winning me over on that one. I mean, I'm a guy, if anybody that is really into this shit, and if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are, you probably have watched Lanky Turtle on YouTube. This guy goes with a nice camera and he films he films just about anything that goes on in the state of Florida that's motorsport related. He's got the Lamborghini in the best quality, the Lamborghini GTP. You know, IndyCar test sessions at Sebring, the Rolex 24, and I mean, I will probably, while I'm uploading this podcast episode and have a few minutes to kill, listen to his video of the Lamborghini. I mean, my YouTube throws that in my face. So I love to listen to the raw sounds of these cars. If I'm not there at the track, I hype myself with good quality videos. That's where I'm at.
So. Yeah.
Now, Rob, back to you. I'm not going to skirt over this. So pissing off content creators. You did that this week.
Not on purpose. I just say things because it's like there's... I just assume nobody's listening.
Question for you, Rob. Are you an internet troll? Yes or no?
No, definitely not.
Are you sure?
I just think I stated the obvious, and he just happened to look at the screen at that time.
So that was Hardier or Jardier, depending on...
And that was a bad choice of words for me, because like he said, he didn't get the game early. So like he bought it, legitimately.
So what?
He's just making content with it. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Can everyone stop promoting this trash?
Yeah.
And it's just, I guess it's probably a poor choice of words, but I was just like, it's just like everybody's sitting there doing streams, barely being able to play the game. And it's just like, guys, just give it up. Yeah. Like, the game sucks.
So you have gotten criticism before.
I just don't like motorsport games.
Right.
I don't like.
I mean, me either. Me either, bud.
They're just taking everything. They've taken from us more than they've given.
Me neither, bud. I still have scars. They hurt me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right? I'm just dirty. You know, I can hold a grudge.
But
in fiction, they're more or less faceless.
Yeah. you've gotten in trouble, Rob, before. You've gotten criticism, not trouble. You've gotten criticism for basically saying like folks like Dave Cam and them are bought and paid for.
I did not say that. That's what they think I said.
You suggested it.
See, you're perpetuating the same thing. No, it's not what I said.
You suggested it, didn't you?
No, I just said it's the same thing as right now. It's like, there's a certain group of them who did get the game early and who put out very positive content about it. And you're seeing the same thing with Le Mans Ultimate
as one of them. As if they were paid to do such.
Not that they're paid. They're not paid. It's just like, they're playing the game. Like they have relationships with these companies. With Studio 397 or whoever it is in motorsport games. Like, I know they do.
If it's not money changing hand, it's value in kind.
Whatever, they're playing the game. Yeah. I mean, whatever. Yeah, it's like not like, just saying it, and then they act like they're like they like go on this like huge thing, like they're defending their honor. Like, how could I ever suggest that could possibly be the case? And it's just like, all right,
it could be the case. It could be the case.
Yeah, it could be the case. And you see the same cycle, right? You say it's just like this content is coming out from the same people, and all the same people with early access are putting out the same content we did whenever R Factor 2 did. They had like some revamp of their physics or something like that.
I don't know.
Had all them creating. we did the episode that time when we got us talking about it, where I said it the first time. So I forget what it was. There was something happened for R Factor 2 that got people that they were all producing content for it again.
It was so,
and it lasted for like a week.
Yeah, it was so not memorable. I don't remember it.
Yeah. So,
but
I mean, that's the state of like video game streaming nowadays, right? Like, it's got a format. That's
probably me. I'm probably not being enough of a realist.
Yeah. Like, Devil's Advocate, they need to make content. This is a low hanging fruit. Like, get this new thing and review it and give an opinion on it. And I think
it's just
I think
motorsport that, games. I think that's really what it comes down to, though.
I know.
Just fuck those guys.
Like, I don't blame them for getting it and doing a video on it. Like, that's harmless to me. Like that. That's what they're doing. They're well known creators of content. Like, I get that. I think where we start to have these political questions is, what are they saying about it? What are they saying about the piece of content that they're reviewing? Does it sound like complete horse shit? Or do they sound like they're being honest to their viewers? That's where I think we start to have the question.
Yeah. That's where's the paycheck coming from?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Is it from the content they're creating, or is it from the company that...
Yeah. This is where we go Joe Rogan on everybody.
I'm pretty sure when you do a YouTube video that has paid content, you have to state that in the beginning.
Well, that was one thing that Rob was told that, and that was pointed out to us in feedback when we were kind of going off on our conspiracy theory. But I don't know. Do you have, I mean, who knows? Who really knows besides those two people?
Well, that's why I said I never told anyone it's changing hands. It's just like it's obvious it happens to me. It's like all it is. And it's like it's not saying that it's even nefarious.
But it could
I'm just pointing it out, and then people act like that, like you're like I'm seeing things.
This is what I perceive.
You know, maybe I am then. I don't know. Like, whatever. I'm just some fucking guy. Don't listen to me. Like what I say means nothing.
It means a lot to me, bud. This is what I foresee. This is what I'm picturing in my head. I'm seeing that these guys all travel together at the Sim Racing Expo in Germany. And after hours, after the conference, some exec from Motorsport Games is sitting next to your favorite motorsport content creator on YouTube. They have a couple drinks. Somebody buys somebody a drink. They get talking. They find out where each other what each other's all about. And maybe a little money exchange hands. Maybe there's a video of blackmail. I don't know. That's maybe
wow. That might be a little extreme.
But if
I don't know,
if you're Motorsport Games and you're struggling and you're on the public market, is it far fetched to think that it is a good marketing plan to get some well followed sim racing person to tell all of his followers to pay for this? I don't think that's nuts. Yeah. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's being too shilly. It's just like David Cam, I think, always is a little bit myself. As soon as he opens up the video with the legends at Studio 397, like, oh, okay.
Oh boy,
I'm like, all right, we're getting her on thick today, boys.
You can't talk too much about the devs. Come on, it was the leadership at the company that was the problem.
I was about to say it. And that guy is even gone now, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Right, the guy that was causing all the problems.
Yeah, he's gone. Okay, cool.
Yeah, sell everything and go work somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's how you fix the problem.
Yeah, merge with iRacing.
Yeah. It's because you're part of an entity that's A, bigger than you now, and B, has a terrible reputation within the community that it's trying to exist.
Yeah.
So yeah, sell everything and go work for those companies.
Agreed. Yeah, just to be clear, I just got us in trouble again. I don't believe there's blackmail going on in the sim racing community.
Apparently, Rob does.
Rob's not sure, but I feel like we're not.
I am sure. I'm absolutely sure that there's nothing nefarious happening. There's people need to think when I say something that it's don't fucking feel so attacked.
But you could be, well, I don't know. It's fascinating to think about. It is, I mean, you got to be realistic about these things, but, I'm waiting for other people to do Le Mans Ultimate that I know. And if it sounds worth it, I'll do it, but likely not. I don't know. Where do you guys stand on this? Has this been on your radar this week? Are you going to get into this, or is this just some inconvenience that's keeping it off of iRacing, which is what you truly love?
No, not at all. It's not affecting me at all. It's like, okay, this exists now, I guess.
I think
I'm getting ready for rain.
Yep.
Yeah. I think if they release a solid like development plan of where they're actually going to go with it, maybe. But there are so many other places I'd rather spend my money right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's not going to happen for me. Not going to happen. I mean, I know they have a couple of cars that iRacing doesn't. Cool.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't need the Ferrari or the Peugeot.
iRacing is a better steward of my money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I buy Le Mans Ultimate, it's just to go out and hot lap. It's not to race with anyone because it's not going to be widely adopted.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy Broadbent, like a couple hours ago, just uploaded a video called "Is Le Mans Ultimate the best offline sim?"
I saw that as well.
Right.
That's not complimentary.
That's what Assetto Corsa was for me. Was just go drive stuff.
Yeah, and if you enjoy doing that, that's exactly what that's for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't want to discredit its existence in the industry because where else can people go race, these cars without a subscription?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I do recognize that there are people that cannot pay for a subscription, right? For whatever reason, or will not, you know, or, and that's fine too.
Not even looking at the subscription.
Yeah.
To really get into iRacing, you need more than, you need wheel pedals. You need, like, you can do it on a controller, but it's not even close to made for that.
Well, I'm not even talking about those people. I'm talking about people who have sim rigs, who play games like Assetto Corsa or ACC and do not want to pay a subscription.
Yeah.
Fine. Okay. I hope that somebody can develop a game that's going to allow you to do the type of racing that WEC offers.
Yeah.
Without it being Forza.
Yeah.
Which doesn't even have the correct pit lane in Daytona, right?
Yeah.
So, I fully recognize the need for something like this within the space. It just really sucks that this is what you get.
Yeah.
I would like it to see it open up to IMSA tracks as well. Because I think right now it's suffering from what ACC had in the beginning, where it was very limited to just the European side of SRO.
Yeah.
And now we have the American tracks. They're bringing in other content. And I think that for this game to succeed long term, they're not going to be able just to stick with the WEC calendar.
Yeah.
How about iRacing produce a console fucking
IMSA game? Have you not seen their Exocross game?
No, I'm talking about an IMSA game.
I don't know if they'll do that because they have so much of the content already on iRacing. I think they'd be hard pressed to create a console game to bring that stuff in. And I think they don't want to take away from the potential business that they could get by keeping it exclusive to iRacing.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
We'll see what they do.
That makes sense.
So the great Jason Bivens, who's a friend of the show for many years, Tyler, would like me to ask you, are you sure that you're not Canadian? That's apparently an inside Racer Remembrance joke.
So Racer Remembrance 2022, right? Jason Bivens was U.S. car driver. I was U.S. car mechanic and fire bottle guy for the entire time, you know. And the thing with Operation Motorsport and Racer Remembrance is the Canadians are on the Canadian car and the U.S. people are on the U.S. car. For some reason, because of my last name, Jason Bivens decided that I was Canadian until I corrected him like a month and a half later. that's a back and forth every now and then.
Yeah, he said with your last name I had to ask you that and bring it back.
It is a French Canadian last name.
Yeah, Rob gets the Robert Gregory whenever he's on an iRacing broadcast. Robert Gregory Gregoire.
It's why I never even attempted to say Rob's name.
We've hit the point to close here, but this has been a good one. It's been great to have you guys in. Bradley, go fuck yourself in Vegas. don't lose too much of your shekels. Patrick Stein's racing in IndyCar League tonight that Rob and I let go because we were just losing so badly. And that's where everybody else is at. But love seeing you guys. Love having you on, Greg, part of the network. The Otmo crew is part of our family here. No doubt about it. It's never more apparent than we're at the actual IMSA track. And can't wait to see you guys at Watkins Glen at our growing compound there that Greg saw last year. Had a bunch of guys up there.
I helped save it last year from
the rain.
The great flood.
It's going to be even bigger this year. We're bringing, instead of a 2-man tent, we're bringing an 8-man tent with another easy up, if you can fathom such.
Hell yeah.
Excited.
Yeah. So Watkins Glen is going to be a big sausage fest. It's going to be a great time.
Awesome.
I'll bring the mustard.
Let's go. Bobby G with us here. Greg Meismer, Tyler Gilmet. Tyler, you're part of it. When you hear your family. So now that you've broken the seal and you've been on the show for the first time, you're now part of the alumni that will probably be on any given week as part of the fourth chair or the fifth chair. So hope you're ready for that. Hope you're ready for it.
Just whenever you want me, I'm here, man.
Well, we will be hitting you up on the studio, and hopefully we'll catch up with you at the Glen in a few months. And hopefully from both of you guys, maybe we'll get you both on and hear about some Sebring stories. Because you'll be kind of our eyes and ears on the ground that weekend coming up. So whatever you do down there after the race is over for Michelin Pilot, do it for reporting and journalism purposes, please. But definitely do all of it.
Follow me at on Instagram on Speed Rat Racing.
There we go.
You can see all the stuff. Shameless plug. I don't give a shit. Yeah.
Yeah. OperationMotorsport.org. A good close group of ours support and race in the iRacing League as an open driver. Myself and Bradley will probably be back in the league coming up in March. They're still figuring out the cars and some more things to be announced. But definitely follow. Definitely follow. Well, guys, it's been fun, and we'll be back next week on ITA after the Bathurst 12. If you're racing in that event, hopefully you don't die within the first hour. But definitely have some backup plans because it's Bathurst. So we'll see you next week on the other side on ITA.
You've been listening to Into the Apex
from Mad Sim Racing Media.
Check out the show's upcoming road trips and join the community at IntoTheApex.com.